We're honored today to have Brother R.J. McCullough and his bride with us today. They are awesome people. We've had them before. For those of you who weren't here at that time, R.J. was the guy that the Church of God sent to check us out when we first came over here on the Mayflower. He came over. He saw what God was doing, that we were the real deal, that we have a genuine heart for the Lord and just want to please Him and serve Him in His way. And he gave us the thumbs up, gave us the green light, went back, took some pictures, said these folks are okay. But he's a man that has many, many years of experience in pastorate, and now he's been traveling as an evangelist with his lovely bride, and they're just beating up the devil everywhere they go because God is with them and God is for them. God has a plan in all of this. And he's really been given a ministry of encouragement. So I know we're going to be blessed today to have him. So God bless you for coming and being a part this morning. And would you just join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that we get to serve you. Holy Father, we pray that you will continually guide and direct everything that goes on this morning, Lord, that you will just be with our brother, that you will give him exactly, Lord, what he needs. We know that we can come to you, Lord, and receive everything that we need. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts today to receive what you have for us, that our hearts will be pliable, flexible, willing to yield and allow you to do that work in us that only you can do. And everybody who agrees with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother R.J. McCullough, let's give him a hand as he comes.
Good morning. I asked an older minister when I was just young Christian, how long does it take to get over the butterflies? He said, I don't know. Have to be at it longer than I can. I am a motivator. I preach to God's people. And I believe if we as God's people really get motivated, lots of evangelism will happen. Amen. So I am a motivator. The messages that God gives me are for His people, His church. I'm not an evangelist. But it's so wonderful. Everything that God does is so full of evangelism. If anybody unsaved is here and here in range, there's more than adequate to take care of the job. Amen. Amen. So we do see people saved, renewed, refilled, blessed, lifted up. We believe in healing through prayer. We believe that God is still in the miracle-working business. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise God. And we come here to be in the Lord's service. And so far, it's been real good. Praise God. It's been real good. So it's good to be here. And we've been praying, asking the Lord to pour out His presence here this morning, and He certainly has in the time of worship. And they just do a good job. I like the way it's happening. Now, the message I'm going to share with you today, I have entitled, Let's Dig Up Some Talent. Let's Dig Up Some Talent. I haven't done much PowerPoint preaching, but this message and the message this evening will both be on PowerPoint. And I've communicated briefly with the operator back there. And if anything looks like it's messed up, it's not her fault. It's mine. I want the credit for that. Praise the Lord. But we'll get through the message. And it's my pleasure to be with you today. I'm not resigning. I've just got some more equipment. Now on the screen first will be the scriptures, our text today, Matthew 25, and this is New King James translation, Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 14 and reading through verse number 27. And after I have read the scriptures here for the text, I want you to join me for prayer. And this is the way I would like to invite you to pray with me. Let's pray for His anointing this morning on His Word, on His servant, and on His people. His anointing. For the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. You need that no man teach you, for that same anointing shall teach you of all things. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is what puts life to the written word. It's pen and ink, but when quickened by the Spirit, it's life-giving. So Matthew 25, beginning at verse number 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And this is Jesus' word. Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I was afraid. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Would you join me for prayer for the anointing from on high? Father, as we pray together this morning, we ask you to pour your anointing, Lord, upon your word today. For thy word being quickened by the Spirit of God is life-giving. Would you pour your anointing upon this, your servant today, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit does communicate life to us. Would you pour your anointing upon your people today, that all of us would know that we have been anointed from on high, and the presence of the Lord had captured our spirit. Lord, and we'll leave here knowing that we've been in the presence of the Lord and been ministered to today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Would you tell someone near you now? I believe God's going to do just what we ask Him to do. Praise the Lord. Now in our text, each man was given some talent. And it's the same with us. The Lord gives each of us some talent. Well, I didn't think I had any talent. Think again. And I hope before the message is over, you're thinking real strongly about it. The Lord has given each of us some talent. No person was left out. They were not given the same amount of talent. You don't have the same amount of talents as someone else. Sometimes we meet, get acquainted with, see, and experience the ministry of persons that are multi-talented. And we have a tendency to say, boy, I would like to be like that. But if God give you two talents, and you're responsible for them too, and He gave you those talents according to your ability, you don't need eight more. Hello? Yes, because we're responsible for the talents that's given to us. Amen. So I'm still working on the couple that I have. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And I've got the ability to work with them. Okay, so no person was left out, and they were not given the same amount of talent. Each person was responsible only for the talents that were given him. You don't have to worry about what he hasn't given you talent for. You don't have to do what he hasn't gifted you for. No, you don't. Don't mess with it. It's not your thing. Just be in partnership with those that are doing it and pray, Lord, really use them while I sit and enjoy it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So each person was only responsible for the talents that were given to them. God does not expect you to compete with others. You are not in a competition. You have chosen to be in a partnership. You don't have to worry about competing with anyone else. I believe if the Lord had a message for us this morning, He'd say, I'll show you someone that you can compete with. Look in the mirror. Amen. Look in the mirror. That's the only one that I want you to compete with. I want you to be your best with what I have given you to do the job with. Praise His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord did not choose me because I was talented. No, He didn't. I don't have some of them super talents, you know, unique talents. Musical talents, for instance. I'm one of the few people that can get off key with a tambourine. Hello? Amen. I'm not musically talented, but I got a song in my heart. Pastored nonstop 46 years. God always give me people that had musical talent to take care of that. And I didn't have to do it. All I had to do was enjoy it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I don't have artistic talent. My stick man looks crippled. I've got a son that taught art and drama for over 30 years. He's retired now from school, but he was a school teacher. And he's a master artist. He can do just any kind of art. But just like I said, my stick man looks crippled. I don't have that kind of talent, but I do have some talent. I do have some talent. Lord has given me talent to be a speaker. I can stand before you without dying with fright. Amen. Amen. Because I am gifted there. It's not because I'm great. It's because that's where some of my gifts are. Okay, let's move on in the message. Now, He does not measure you by someone else's accomplishment. You do not have to be as good or better than someone else in the area where He has designed you to worship Him and to work with Him and to walk with Him. He's only going to measure you by your ability and by your application of it. Now, God is not designed just to be competitors, but rather partners. Others need what God has given us, and we need what God has given them. He has called you and given you individual gifts and talents, and He's given you an individual salvation that is yours. He's filled many of you, maybe all of you, with His Holy Ghost, which is an individual and personal thing. But He has put you in a corporate setting. He has put you in the greatest corporate thing in this world, the Lord's Church, made you a part of the body. You don't have to be all of it, but you get to be some of it. That's what makes it good. Amen. Everyone is given some talent. Hallelujah. Sometimes we do not realize that. Now, the master gave talents according to each person's ability. Yeah. He gave 5 to 1 because he had the ability to handle that. He gave 2 to 1 because he had the ability to handle that. He gave 1 to 1 because he had the ability to handle that. He gave them what he knew that they could handle. So, if you're not greatly gifted, don't sweat it. Just do what he's given you some gift to do. Amen. Go with the flow and enjoy what others are given to you. God does not expect you to do what you are not gifted for. He don't expect you to do that. He doesn't. God needs you to do what you are gifted for, because he's got a place for you in the corporate setting, in the body, in the church. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what he wants you to do, but you got an idea, contact your pastor. He wants to hear from you. He'll help you put it together. He won't do it for you, but he will help you to become all you can be for him with the gifts that he has given you. You don't have to be greatly gifted to be a blessing to others. Amen. Now, God has gifted you to be a vital part of this corporate body, the church, his church. It's the only thing in this world he claims is his. He don't claim any of the big corporations. He don't claim the airlines. He don't claim the train tracks. He don't claim that. That's part of man's stuff. He claims the church. You. Me. Us. That's the only thing that he claims in this world. And you know what he said about getting some others in? Jesus said, go into the highways, hedges, streets, and lanes of the city and compel them to come that my house might be full. Yes. Someone has said to me, you know, going to church don't get you to heaven. No, you can't get to heaven by just going to church if you're not saved. But I'll tell you what, he designed the church for you and me, not for him. We're not doing him a favor going to church. We're going to the place where about 90% of the blessing that he's designed for comes, we come in contact with, because your connection with the corporate body brings to you about 90% of the blessing he's designed for you. So I say, stay in church! Stay in church! Stay in church! That's what I always told the new Christian. You gotta stay in church! You can't make it if you don't stay in church. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's a different message, so I'll get away from that. You may not be gifted to be the quarterback, but the holder and the kicker have won many games. Yes, you may not be gifted to be the quarterback, but the holder and the kicker have won many games. Each person on the team, including the reserves, receives a ring when their team wins it all. Some time ago, I was watching an interview where they were interviewing a top-notch athlete. I don't remember exactly who I was thinking. It was a basketball star. But anyway, the interviewer was trying to make a superstar out of that great player. He was interviewing him. And he asked him, said, how many games have you won? And he said, none. Oh, said, how many have you lost? He said, none. He said, we're a team. Amen. Amen. We're a team. We have won some. We have lost some. He said, there's been times that I was given the ball for the last shot, and I made it, and we won. There's been other times, same thing happened. I was given the ball, I made the shot, and missed the basket. We lost the game. But you know what? The team that you're on is not going to lose. Hallelujah. Right. Praise God. You're on a winning team. The Lord has put you on a winning team. And He's gifted you to be a part of it. And all the focus on the superstar. They're going to throw the ball in the last time for the last shot. And there's four of them guarding the superstar. But here you are over here, Mr. Nobody. And they throw you the ball and you shoot and make the basket. Right. Amen. Right. And then say, our team won! Yes. And when our team wins, I win. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is good stuff. Yes. Amen. Yes. When the team wins, I win. Yes. Because the Lord has put me on His team. Let me tell you something else about it. He didn't call you to be His puppet. He's not going to take away your mind, take away your ability to think, reason, and choose. He's not going to tie strings onto you and pull the strings. He's going to say, take a hold of my hand. I want you to be my partner. We're going to walk together. And I'll give you some gifts, some talents, and we are going to do the work that needs to be done to mankind. He's got you on His mind. He's got you on His list. He's got you on His record. Yes, He had. For when you got saved, He wrote your name down. Now, I'm R.J. McCullough. You know what the R is for? Robert. They didn't find a Bible name for me there, but my middle name is Joseph, after my dad. Robert, after my uncle. And there's lots of Roberts. If you're Spanish, it's Roberto. But you know, in the many years since I've saved, 1952, He's never got me mixed up with any of the other Roberts. He knows which one I am. He knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows what your address is. He knows what you need. He knows how to get it to you. He knows what your gifts are because He's given them to you. And He gave you those gifts according to your ability to handle them and to be a blessing to others. Whatever gift you have the ability to bless people. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He gave you gifts that'll work. Now, two that were given talents work together, work toward achievement in our text we're talking about this morning. Their talent alone did not make them successful. They had to work at it. When He gave you your talent, you might not have known much about that. And then again, you might have, because He might have gave you some normal stuff. We're going to talk about that a little later in the message, too. Their talent alone did not make them successful. We see talented people. I've known people that were so greatly talented but weren't committed. They weren't accomplishing anything. They weren't blessing anybody. But they had lots of talent. They were admired by some because they had lots of talent. You're not going to be successful just because you've got some talent. Your talent will grow only as you grow. Your talent will grow only as you grow. If you will use your talent, grow your talent, you will grow. Great achievers become great achievers through application. You've got to put it to work. I've always enjoyed working, doing stuff. Yeah. I've always worked. I'm a journeyman carpenter. I've never served an apprenticeship. I became a journeyman carpenter before I ever worked for anyone else as a carpenter. Had natural talent. Now, I can't lead worship. I never get any invitations to lead worship. Or to do artwork. But all of the five churches I've pastored, I either built churches or remodeled. Every one of them are built parsonages. So I'm a carpenter. I can build a car, but I can't crochet a doily. Okay? We're going to talk about that a little bit too. I'm finishing my second Model A restoration. How long does it take to finish one? Oh, I've had this about 14, 15 years and ain't quite got it done yet. Work a little at a time. I can build a car. I can fix anything that's mechanical. But now if it's got electronics, I have to call for a grandkid to help me. I'm not gifted or trained in that area. It says, do you know how to do this? I don't even know how to turn it on. You know, have to have a grandkid that grew up in that generation. But you've got some talents that'll work. You've got some talents that'll bless people. Amen. And I'm going to introduce you to someone in just a little bit. Those who use their talent gained success and were rewarded. Those two. Now, but there is one who had talent but did not use it. He buried it. Buried his talent. He knew where it was. He was the only one that knew where it was. No one else knew where it was. No one else benefited from it. The master asked him, why did you bury your talent? And he said, I was afraid. As I was preparing the message, I got out my Cruden's Concordance, and I looked up Fear Not. It's listed 74 times in Cruden's Concordance. Fear not. Why did the Lord need to say fear not so many times so we'd get the message? It's a tough one. Yeah. What was he afraid of? He might have been afraid that he would fail. There's a 50% possibility if you try to succeed, you will fail if you're trying by yourself. But when the Lord is with you and he's given you something to work with, don't be afraid you're going to fail. He has only planned success. That's all he's got in mind for you. No failure. No failure. And he's going to be with you. There won't be any failure. But he might have been afraid that he would fail. Don't fear failure. Afraid that others would criticize him. Criticize me. I promise you some will. It wouldn't be fair for God not to let you be criticized when I've been criticized a lot. Someone said, I didn't like that message you preached. I'd say, I didn't like it too much myself, but I'm working to try to improve it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Afraid that someone would criticize me. I promise you, someone will. Afraid that I could not compete with others. You can't. There's always someone that's going to be able to do what you're doing better than you're doing. But the Lord gave you what he gave you so you could do something and be a blessing. Not so that you could win the red ribbon or the prize and considered to be the best. But so that you could be considered to be his partner and walk with him hand in hand and reach out and touch people and bless them with the talent that he has given to you. Pray that I couldn't compete with others. You're not in a competition. You're in a partnership. Afraid to risk my talent. The only way that you can lose your talent is to bury it and let it die there. If you use it, it'll work. You won't lose it. No one can take it away from you. They've got talents that they have been given already. They don't need your talent. They got all they can handle. Hallelujah. Afraid to risk my talent. Now the master said, you could have made a risk-free investment. Just put it in the bank. Let it draw interest. Amen. The amount of return depends on the amount of risk. You know, I've discovered I do have a bank account, but I've discovered that I can't draw more out of it than I have put into it. Amen. And I have got a letter or two from the bank that says you're overdrawn. That's never happened in a U, I'm pretty sure. But oh no, oh, been there and done that, huh? And didn't keep enough score on what I had in the bank. The amount of return depends on the amount of risk, the amount that you put in. You can't draw out more than you put in. Put something in. You know, I've had people say, I'd like for the Lord to bless me financially. I've got a pretty good answer for that. Give him something to bless. Well, I can't afford to pay tithes. I don't know about you, but I can't afford not to. I'd go broke pretty quick. I'm pretty close to that now. I checked my change purse. Amen. But it's always been enough. God takes care of his. God takes care of his. Okay. Master said you could have made a risk-free investment. The amount of return is determined by the amount of risk. God is looking for risk takers. He is. He's looking for risk takers. I heard a African-American minister in a Church of God at our General Assembly a number of years ago. He was preaching up a storm. He said not even a turtle can make any progress until he sticks his neck out. Yeah. Amen. Don't be afraid to stick your neck out. The Lord will protect you. You're sticking it out according to His direction. Stick your neck out. Now look, God don't do any credit business. He requires an act of faith on our part, and then He responds to that. Don't do any credit business. You can't say, well, Lord, you just give me such and such and I'll do it later. He says, no thanks. You give me some faith and I'll take care of it. I'll respond to it. Amen. So, if you want something for God, pay up front. He don't have a credit business. And neither does He have a draft program. He only has volunteers. And He gives all of His volunteers talents so that they can be a part of the team and get the job done. God's risk takers are always God's progress makers. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, your challenge today. Where should I dig? In your own yard. If you dig in your neighbor's yard and you find something, it's not yours. You're not in charge of it. It don't belong to you. You cannot develop it. You cannot use it. It's not yours. It's his. Dig in your yard. Dig in your life. Find the talents. Find the abilities that are there. And realize you can't do everything everybody else does. You don't have to. You're not everybody else. You're an individual. God is not comparing you with anyone. He's not asking you to compete with anyone. He's asking you to be the best you can be with what I have given you. I know you. I know your abilities. I know who you are. I know how you operate. I know how you think. I know you inside and out. And I've chosen you to be my partner. Give me your hand. We're going to walk together. We're going to make some progress. We're going to touch some people's lives. We're going to do something wonderful because I've gifted you to be a blessing to other people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise His wonderful name. When you find talent there in your yard, it's yours. You can work on it. You can develop it. You can use it. You don't have to make any payments on it. It's yours. It's yours. God has given it to you. You know, if I worried a whole lot about I didn't have any musical talent, I never would have made it. I'm like the guy that said, I thought God was going to call me to be a singer. Then he heard me. Don't worry about what you don't have. Use what you've got. Use what you've got. That's all the Lord is asking of you. And He will bless you. Many people that weren't greatly talented have found great success because they applied what they had. Yeah. When should I dig? Immediately, if not sooner. Dig for that talent. When should I dig? Now. Make a commitment today that you're going to start looking. And you're going to start believing in yourself, understanding that the Lord has given you some talent. Maybe there's some talent there that you've had since you were just a child. But you never realized it was. It's just something that you thought was good to do. My youngest son, who became a school teacher and taught art and drama for many, many years, was great at it. When he was a little bitty guy, he could make something beautiful out of a toilet paper roll. What do we do with toilet paper roll? We throw it away. He didn't. Give me that. He can make something out of it. And his mother would let him mess with her hair because he liked... And so one day he was messing with her hair. And he took some toilet paper and he made a big bow and put it in her hair. He was learning. He was developing his talent. Later in the day, she had company. And she really enjoyed that company. After she's gone, she went in the bathroom, looked in the mirror, and there was that big old toilet paper bow in her hair. But you know, the Lord made me understand why he was so different when he was a child. He was developing his talent. He liked dolls, but he made clothes for them. And later on, as an art teacher, he taught the girls how to make clothes. Make their own clothes, you know. Find a talent. Work on it. Develop it. Let it be a blessing to others. Would you allow me to introduce a friend to you this morning? I would like to introduce a friend to you this morning. His name is Raleigh Mayberry. What's your talent? Raleigh Mayberry and his wife he calls Ruthie. I don't think her folks named her Ruthie. I think they named her Ruth. But that's his special name for her. They've been married over 50 years now. He's about 10 years younger than me. Raleigh is my barber. Since 1973, when I went to his barber shop, he has cut my hair since then. There's either three or four times during those years that someone else has cut my hair. Hey, when you find a good barber, stay with him. Amen. Even if your hair falls out on top, he can trim the edge as well. But there is something I've discovered that'll stop falling hair. The floor. Raleigh is a great barber. He's a great barber. Just out of high school, him and Ruth were married. They were high school sweethearts. They lived in South Dakota. They came to Vancouver, Washington. Raleigh trained to be a barber. She trained to be a hairdresser. She went to work for the school in the kitchen. She didn't go to work. But he opened his own shop. Well, after about 3 years working an apprenticeship, he opened his own shop. And he's still in business. He's about 75 years of age now. We're good friends. just about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I came into Raleigh's shop, and up on the shelf, there were three barbers in the shop, and up on the shelf, beautiful birds, looked like they were all mounted. And I said, whose birds are these? And Raleigh said, they're mine. And I said, are they stuffed? He said, no, they're carved. I said, who carved them? He said, I did. You carved those birds? Yeah. He said, go over and examine. If you break one, I'll fix it. If you made it, you can fix it. Beautiful birds. And I was amazed. Being close friends with him all those years, I didn't know he had any talent except cutting hair. How about that for a barber? This was Lucille's favorite. This is the one that she wanted, my former wife. When he took this for a showing, he got the mayor's ribbon. This one. He always lets me use them. He and Ruth have went with a couple times when I preached this message. It's about the fourth time I preached this message. Oh, you don't preach a new message every time? I would love to. Lord, don't give me that much. But it's like a good song. You don't wear it out singing it once, okay? Yeah. That talent. Well, how's that talent going to help preach God? He's helping me to challenge you to find your talent and use it for God. Yes. It's preaching the gospel today. Beautiful, beautiful work. Beautiful work. Looks real. It's wood. It's carved. I said, Raleigh, how long does it take for you to complete a bird? He says about 100 hours. Whoa. If you want to do something with your talent, work on it. Time management. I said, how do you find that time? He said, every Tuesday night, 3 hours. That's my bird carving time. And he's got numbers of them. Won numbers of ribbons. Now, I didn't even know he had any talent except cutting hair. And he always lets me, we're good friends, he always lets me take some of his birds with me. I could take more than one if I want to, but I said, I want that owl. That's one of my favorites. Amen. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Could you believe a barber could do that? Yeah. Just a normal person like you. You've got talents. This is a very unique talent. My talents are pretty normal, but they work. Just like I said, I can build a car, I can build a house, I can build a church. I've built churches, I've modified churches, remodeled churches, I've built parsonages, because that's not at 12 years old, I built an outhouse for our farm where we lived. Amen. You know what an outhouse is? They named that restaurant out back, and I can't identify with that, you know. But anyway, 12 years old, I built an outhouse for our family. It might have not been perfect, but it worked. But I've got better as a carpenter. Amen. You've got talent. That's the message I'm sharing with you today. You've got talent. God has given you some talent. He's given you some things that you can do better than most other people can do. Because you're talented at it. And it's just so easy for you. Just so easy for you. It just comes so easy. No one calls for me to lead singing or do art, you know. But I get plenty of invitations to do carpenter work and work on their cars and fix their lawnmowers and that kind of stuff. I've got the normal stuff. Okay. Let's go through these pictures. Okay, there's Ruth. She collects those deals that she was holding there, and they're beautiful. She's got a large collection of them. And She loves them, and she collects them. She don't do them herself. Hey, if you're just collecting something, go ahead. That's all right. Find a place for it. Okay, give us another frame. Great frame. Now, you see that barn owl, I guess that would be. You see, he's holding the ribbon there that it won one of the trophies. He's holding the ribbon there as he showed it in a bird carving show. Okay, the next frame. And there's a different one. That looks like a dove or I don't know what it is. Anybody is familiar with birds, you might know what it is. Okay, and go on to the next frame. That's a hummingbird. That's not a bumblebee. Okay. That's a hummingbird. And he said that was difficult. That's a small, difficult. Difficult to do, but boy, he accepted the challenge. Okay, bring the next frame up. And there he's showing another shot of the hummingbird and some of his stuff that he works with in the background. He's trying to smile. He's getting there. Okay, now there's another beautiful bird, and there's a ribbon that he's holding that it's won. You see, he was 42 years old when he took an interest. He went to a bird carving hen. His wife went to a bird carving showing, and they enjoyed what they seen, and he had an interest in it. And there was an elder gentleman there that was a bird carver, and he was also a trainer. And he saw that Raleigh had some interest, and he said, sign up for my training classes. It costs you $200. And by the time you get through it, if you can't do it, I'll just give you your money back. Now, that was a pretty good deal, so he invested in it, but he discovered he could do it. He could do it. You know, you might have things that you've wished that you could do, but have you ever tried? I'm challenging you today. The Lord is challenging you today. Work on it. Try it. Put your mind to it. Put your hands to it. Put your heart to it. Praise God. Find your talent and use it. You see, this is a corporate thing. This is a corporate body. This is a great thing that God has. And He don't have any subs sitting on the bench. He's got all of you in the team. And He's got and He has given you some talent to be a part of the corporate body. You've got something to give. So anyway, we'll go through the rest. I had eight frames there. I went to their home and I took pictures of those that they had on the shelves. And, of course, there's many that I didn't. Okay, go on to the next frame. And there we are. I think that is, that is this little owl. That's the latest one. So he lets me bring his best stuff to minister to you. And he loves it. And he tells folks, he said, Pastor McCullough has wrote a sermon for me. Hallelujah. But the Lord give it to me for you, for each of us. Amen. And Raleigh, is helping me preach the message. Okay, next. Now, okay, this is someone different. This is my former wife, Lucille. I want to talk about her. She was wonderful with crochet needle. This wife is too. She makes scrubbies. She works on them all the time. If you don't have a scrubby, you need one of the scrubbies that she makes. She'll tell you how it works. Lucille was great with the crochet needle. Through the years, she's made hundreds, literally hundreds, of baby sets. The cap, the sweater, the booties. Gave them away to young ladies that was having a baby girl. And she's made hundreds of doilies and centerpieces. Gave them to pastors' daughters and young women that's getting married and everywhere. She, hundreds of them. I came into the house and she was crocheting. She'd worked fast. You couldn't tell what she was doing. Even if you was a crocheter, you couldn't tell what she was doing. She knew what she was doing. And I've seen her pull out 2,000 yards because she missed a stitch, you know, and start over again. Say, oh, man, I wouldn't do that. Well, when I'm building a house, if there's a piece that ain't right, I'll tear that house down to make it right. Amen. So, you know what I mean? Do it right. Get it done right. If you have to back up, do it again. And she said, I wish I had talent like other people. At her funeral, there was over 300 people. People that she had blessed with her crochet needle. They loved her. Some of those mothers still have those baby sets, and their babies have grown up and got married and have their own families. You might have some of the natural stuff. See, mine is the natural stuff. I understood structural and mechanical when I was just a little guy. My first car was a Model T Ford. You that old? Yep. Just past 85. But it was a piece of junk, a strip down. But I learned how to fix that engine and put it all together and all of that. And because I had that natural ability to understand, I just understood it. But I can't crochet a dolly. I'm not too good at leading worship, but I can sing along if it has to be done. Amen. Praise God. You've got some talent, and God wants you to use it for Him. He wants you to dig it up. If it's been buried and you've been thinking, well, I can't do anything, that is not true. Quit lying to yourself. There's something you can do. There's some stuff you can do. There's some stuff that you can do well. You know, and these, on the musical instruments, I love these musical instruments. And, boy, I just love it. I can't play them. My problem is I don't have the talent. And I don't hear well. I don't pick up the high tones. So I get about every third word, you know. But anyway, the Lord has given you some talent. Lucille said, I wish I had talent like other people. You don't have to have the unique talents to feel that you're talented. There might be some normal stuff that you can do, and you can do it well. I encourage you to do it. Find out what you can do with it. The Lord will help you to bless people. If you're mechanical, help people with their mechanical problems. Help people with their cars today. And if you need some help on electronics, take a grandkid with you. Amen. But you can be a blessing to others. So Lucille blessed many, many people with her crochet needle and didn't know she was talented, because it was just the normal stuff. If you've got some of the normal stuff, develop it. Work at it. Make it good. Be the best. You have some talent. Now, a Bible illustration in the book of Acts talks about Dorcas. Dorcas died and Jesus was there. And the women were showing the garments that she had made with her needle. They was lamenting her passing, and they loved her so much because of how she had blessed them with her talent. Hers was just one of the natural things, the normal things. It wasn't a unique talent. Any woman could sew a garment, but with her talent, she touched the lives of many. You can do the same. The Lord wants to challenge you today to grow this church. You see, you're all that He's got to grow this church. He ain't got anybody else. It's you. Just normal folks. Just normal folks. Just normal folks. Hallelujah. You're all that He's got to grow this church. And He's challenging you today through this message to find what talent you have, to develop it, to make it the best possible, and to put it into operation. Start doing it. Hallelujah. Start doing it. Start using your talent for the Lord. That's how he has built his church. Put so much talent into it, and then every need is supplied. You know, I love these that come and done the promotion for the children's program this morning. I love children. I've loved to work with children all through my ministry. I've been privileged to be the camp evangelist for 14 state and regional youth camps. I've seen as many as 86 kids saved in one youth camp and 106 baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Intermediates were old enough to know what's going on. Amen. Praise God. Children, the Lord needs children. I'm glad to see that you've got children and young people. If you don't have, your church is a dying church. Amen. Amen. Use your talents to work with the children, to work with people, to work with senior adults. Senior adults need to be worked with too. Some are discouraged. Some do not have health that they can do anything close to what they used to do. But hey, listen to me. If you're a senior adult, don't quit. Yeah, the devil would like for you to think, you can't do anything. Now, if you don't get contrary, you can do a lot of things. You might have to make some, you might have to make some changes in your life, like Paul did. You know, Paul's desire was to be out there preaching the gospel. But the latter part of his life, he spent it in prison. He was governed by the chains and the people that were put there to guard over him. So what did he do? He made a role change. And he wrote 13 books of the New Testament that gives us guidance for our lives today. After his role change, he done that when he was in prison. Hear me, friend. If you're a senior adult, God's not through with you. So don't get through with God. I just passed my 85th birthday. I'm blessed because I have health enough to be active. Some really have health problems, and my heart goes out to you. But do what you can for God. Don't quit. Don't let him put you on a shelf. He ain't got no shelves. I've looked. In case someone wanted to put me on the shelf. And I tell pastors, don't schedule me to preach because I'm the unique old guy still preaching. I don't want to be a unique thing. I want to be a preacher of the gospel. That's what he's called me to do. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Now I know that I'm called. I know that I'm called. I know that I can't compete with others, but I don't have to. All I have to do is do the best that I can. Amen. I know that he's called me. I know that he's anointed me. I know that he sent me with this message for you today. Find your talent. Dig it up. Put it into operation. Develop it. Well, my church don't do that. They've just been waiting for you to start it. Amen. Start it. As long as it's good, clean, and pure, and God's saying do it, go for it. Start some ministries. If you have a thought about something you'd like to do, talk to your pastor. He'll smile all the time you're talking, and then he'll say, I'll help you to get started. Let's go. Let's find our talent. Let's use it for God to bless the lives of other people. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah.